Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Pretty Much Media. This is an officially episode. On today's episode, we're going to be covering Mourinho winning his fifth major European title. We've got Klopp named the Premier League manager of the season. Is it deserved? That's a question we want to know. Obviously, Chelsea women's boss Emma Haynes also being named the women's manager of the season. We're also going to talk about Goal Lounge views in terms of who the player of the season is, as well as the transfer of the season. Of course, Todd Boehly from Chelsea, officially the new Chelsea manager, has taken over. And then we're going to cover, lastly, our Champions League final preview and prediction. So we're going to kick it off first and foremost, gentlemen. The man does it again. The special one wins five major European trophies. The only manager to have done that. Nick, we know you're a huge fan of Mourinho. What does this mean for him?
Just proves, you know, the man wins wherever he goes. I think the only team he hasn't won a title is at Spurs. And I think yesterday was a testament to that. They scored in the first half, and, you know, who needs to play nice football to win trophies? Mourinho has proved that year in, year out. And, you know, he's been given a squad of players, and I think they dropped out of the Europa League. So it was a little bit of a disappointment from that perspective. But then to go on and win the sort of the next possibility in terms of trophies for Roma, he went and done it. So, you know, congrats to him. And I still think he deserves to be in the Premier League somewhere. I'm not too sure where, but somewhere.
That's an interesting question that you're saying there, Nick. I mean, everyone knows where he's currently being linked with. Wongadinga, what are your views about
Who is he linked with?
We'll talk about that as we go on there. Wong, what are your thoughts so far?
Look, I mean, I think for me, the standout for me was Mourinho's comment where he said, finals, you don't play finals, you win them. And it's just saying in terms of the way that you play, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be nice, you know, it's not going to be like your league fixtures, but, you know, he's basically saying that that's what he knows what to do is when he gets to a final, he knows that, you know, he knows how to win them. And I mean, yeah, he's got a point there because, I mean, you know, no one's going, if you're in a final, you don't want to go there and be the ones coming out empty handed. It feels like you're the lost pace. Like as Tiger Woods used to say, I mean, if you're number two, you are the first winner. I mean, the first winner, man, the first loser.
Yeah, you're right. You've got a great record. I mean, that's five finals now, five victories. I don't think any manager's had such a perfect record. And, you know, it's a classic sort of Mourinho performance. They go there, they win 1-0, keep a clean sheet, don't concede anything, and they get the job done. Like you said, this was not work tonight. This was history, and he made history. And, Nick, we're talking about who he's linked with when we're looking at that. And you say you don't know. But one of the names is Newcastle. I mean, would you take him now if Eddie Howe?
I don't think now. I think I would have taken him, you know, when we did get taken over, if he was available. I think he would have been a good fit. Obviously, there's that connection with Bobby Robson. But I think it's always been my dream to have Mourinho come there and do something. I think, you know, if you give him a project, he's proven if you give him backing, he does all right. You know, he was backed at Man United. He finished second. You know, as much as people want to complain about Mourinho at Man United, he's probably been the most successful coach in recent years. So, yeah, I think in terms of Mourinho, I still think he's got it. And whether or not he wants to be thrown into the cauldron, that is the Premier League, is a debate maybe for another day. But I think he still has a lot to offer, and maybe takes Roma to the next level and challenge for the title next season.
Nick, I mean, you've touched on the fact that there's a lot of disrespect towards him, or there's a lot of sort of negative commentary towards him. When you're looking at specifically from the English perspective, especially when we see what he continuously does when he goes somewhere, I mean, he wins things, regardless of whether or not he got sacked by Spurs. There was an opportunity for him to win the League Cup before he left. I mean, why does he get this disrespect, in your opinion, from the English media?
I think the English media like to talk about what they, you know, they like to get involved in scandalous, you know, stories. And they like to make a lot out of generally nothing. Mourinho is the type of guy, he's got that Portuguese charismatic nature about him, and he'll say what he feels, you know, and rightly so, because he's won everything he can in European football. I mean, he's won the league in Spain, he's won it in Italy, he's won it in England, he's won the Champions League, he's won the Europa League, he's won the Conference League. So what can this man not achieve, you know, in his career? So at the end of the day, for me, I think the fact that he's so outspoken, and, you know, he will, you know, call players out, he will call media out, he will call owners out, I think that's sort of the negative feedback that he gets, especially from the English media. From what I understand, he is loved in Portugal. I think he's loved in Italy for what he did at Inter. So I think he deserves a little bit more credit. And for people to write him off and say he's a has-been, do it at your own peril, because this man has proven that he can still do it, and he can mix it with the big boys.
And you, Wonga, why do you think he gets that negative publicity?
I think it's just the basic fact that, you know how the English media is, and I think it's just because, yeah, he's obviously confident about himself, knows what he can do, and yeah, he's gonna put it out there, tell them, and you know, people are probably, I think the media just obviously, you know how the media is, you know, they'd rather see someone fail, you know, than succeed. And they've played that game with him. I mean, as he started coaching there at Chelsea. I think there was even, you know, the time he had to remind them that how many titles he won. There was a time he also reminded them that the last British person to win a Premier League title was Sir Alex Ferguson before him. You know, so all those times. I mean, you sort of. I just think maybe it's because of just the way he is as a person, and you know, and how the media is. I mean, how they operate. They're trying to bring him down, and him is still on his feet. And you know, they're like Nick says, they've written him off. But look at that, number five, he's still going.
He's got a bit of a excuse my language, but a bit of a fuck you mentality. Like, yeah. I've done it. I've mixed with the best. I've coached the best. I've won everything. So who are you to tell me? And I think rightly so. Unfortunately, that is taken in the media as a sense of arrogance. But I think he's earned his arrogance, in my opinion. I don't know. What do you think, Claudio?
Yeah, I think you guys bring up some valid points. It is interesting when you look at him. I mean, he doesn't give a shit, and he does say what's on his mind. And it's very hard for him to sort of mask his expressions. So it is that. So if he feels disrespected, he's going to come out and he's going to pull the face and he's going to say, stuff you, you guys don't appreciate me. And I think that's kind of what his last reign in England was in the previous time, is that exact fact. And the fact that he had to mention that, and he goes, you guys keep questioning my caliber and yet I keep performing. So I'm very confused yet. I mean, we're looking at him now at Roma. He looks like the old Mourinho. He's happy. He's saying things that are positive. He's celebrating with his players. His players are appreciating him. And now all of a sudden we're seeing the best of Mourinho.
His Instagram is on point, by the way, as well. I think there's a TikTok also that's going viral about him, and like people use his voiceover in their TikToks because he is a boss.
Yes.
For me, he's the ultimate boss.
I am Jose Mourinho.
I am Jose Mourinho.
Well, yeah, before we move on to the next topic, exactly that question. I mean, where does he stand on the list of the greatest ever managers for you?
Oh, I think he's definitely up there, Claude. I can't put a place on it. I'd have to think about it. But, yeah, he's definitely up there. You also have to consider the fact that, you know, he's been there for a long time. He's been around the block, you can say it as well. Italy's been there twice with different teams. Premier League's been there three times. Been there with three different teams. You've got to give him. Yeah, you've got to give him a lot of credit. I can't lie to you. Definitely has to be in the. I would say definitely top five, top ten, definitely.
And you, Nick?
Yeah, I think he's a legend. Legend in the game. One of the all-time greats. Just simply because of what he's won. And what he's achieved. Arguably, you would say maybe at Chelsea he was heavily backed in both stints as manager. But then what are you going to say about a Pep Guardiola or a Klopp? Because their owners aren't shy and spending money themselves. So obviously Liverpool not as much as a Man City, but they still spend probably in relation to what Chelsea did back then. So I think for him, he's coached some of the biggest teams in the world, if not the biggest team in Real Madrid. And I think he's definitely in the
Porto.
He won a Champions League with Porto. He did win a Champions League with Porto.
Yes.
I think for me, you know, he's proven that he can coach the smaller teams, the underdogs, if you want to call them that.
Yep.
He's maybe it hasn't gone right at one or two other teams like Man United. Arguably Man United, I would say, did all right there based on sort of what he had to pick up. And maybe Spurs was a little bit underwhelming, but I think if he was backed a little bit more, I think he could have achieved something and probably won a trophy for them going into that final where they lost. So, I think definitely
he could,
top five, if not top 10, definitely.
You could argue that even, I don't want to go off topic here, but even Conte's situation is sort of helped by the fact that Mourinho has been there, you know, because he never got much of a backing. And next thing you know, he's probably out of there because he knows he can't do much with what these guys are giving him. And now you've got a Conte there and you don't want to repeat what has happened with Jose Mourinho. And Conte's gone there. Obviously, he has come mid-season. He's finished fourth. But even he knows right now, he's telling them, look, if you guys want to win stuff, I mean, Mourinho's been here. Now I'm here. You guys have got to do something now. So I think he's pretty much sort of helped by the situation.
Yeah, no, definitely. Conte's, I personally believe, the foundation's been laid for him. It makes his job easier to obviously kick on in the Spurs job, not taking anything away from him. But just going back to the Mourinho thing before we move on, it is to the point that you guys said, obviously, as a manager, he gets victories, he wins trophies, he wins titles. And as a football man, he knows his stuff. But I think one of the things that he's done for managers abroad and globally is that he's really transformed the sort of image of a manager. Where manager was all about football and speaking, he really turned the figurehead of a manager into sort of a celebrity and sort of bringing the same sort of brand image and capabilities that players have from a sort of star player effect. And I think he was the sort of founding father, in my opinion, of that sort of era. But all right, gentlemen, before we move on.
One more thing.
Yes.
One more thing, Claudio. If you also think about it, Mourinho definitely deserves respect. The Barcelona era with the tiki-taka, that one that was difficult to beat. Mourinho, I think, was the manager that took it down.
He broke it.
He broke it. He was the manager to break it. He broke it with Inter. He broke, they got punished by Madrid quite a bit. But, he finally found a way to break it. And I think, he definitely deserves credit for that. Manager now look at that and say, okay, this is how we do it.
Wonga, I love that note. I love that note. He is the break of tiki-taka. That is Mourinho. That's how we need to remember Mourinho. Right, gentlemen. Klopp, named Premier League manager of the season. Obviously, there's a lot of speculation of people not being too happy about this. When we're looking at it, before we dive into it, we've got to understand how managers are named managers of the season. And that's all the other managers in the respective leagues put in a vote. And that's across all English leagues, all four of the English leagues. They vote for who they think is most deserving. We know that the candidates for this season was Pep Guardiola, Thomas Frank, Eddie Howe, Patrick Vieira. Now, Wonga, we spoke a little bit about it on Tuesday as to which teams we thought did well. Nick, you weren't there for that. What is your overall opinion about Klopp winning the Premier League Manager of the Season?
So just going back onto, I'm not correcting you, Claudio. I do know that the nominees are pulled out of the hat by the votes. But from what I do understand, because I voted for Eddie Howe, the fans have some say in terms of, so there is a voting process on their website. But they've got a distinguished panel that also have a vote, but their weight of the vote is a lot higher. Why I would say potentially Klopp doesn't deserve it is because, is it a Premier League manager of the season or is it a manager of the season? Simply because I look at it two ways. You know, Liverpool in the Premier League did extremely well, but did fall short. if you look at the whole season and the fact that they've had to play the amount of football that they've had to play, they've already won two titles and potentially going to win a third, then I would maybe possibly say he is deserving. I wouldn't say he's not deserving of this either because of the points tally, because of all the games that he's had to play. However, I would like to sort of understand the thinking of the final set of votes. Klopp was leading just before the fan vote was Klopp at 34%. Eddie Howe was in second at 31%. I know it's a little bit skewed though because anyone could vote for anyone and it's not necessarily a calculated guess. But from a perspective also to take into account, Klopp didn't win one manager of the month this season. If you look at every manager of the month, he didn't win one. Just in terms of how that panel made that final decision, I would maybe say there's a little bit of a question mark. But in terms of his ability, a
huge question mark.
Don't hold back, Wonga, please.
The thing is, are we getting to a point where the winning team has to have the winning coach for manager of the season?
Then why do we have votes then, if that's the case? Because then we're just going to know every season whoever wins the league will be named manager.
That's true. But then you also got a situation here with Liverpool and Man City where it's becoming a little bit of a soap opera. Those two are running away with chasing the title. And then it becomes a voting system of people within the industry, in the media, as well as fans. And they are determining who they like better. Maybe in front of camera, maybe how they deal with wins, how they deal with losses. And maybe, you know, Klopp is more of a likable guy. You know, maybe that those pearly whites there when he smiles and he's so excited when he celebrates is getting him over the line. So, I don't think it really means much, to be honest. These awards don't mean much for me. I think the Ballon d'Or means a lot, you know, who's the best player in the world. But Klopp, you know, if you give it to Klopp or Pep, you know, you're not going to argue that they're not worthy of the title. I do think, in my opinion, Claudio Wonga, I think the job that Eddie Howe did, finishing third in the second half of the season, is an unbelievable achievement. And with what he was thrown into, I think he's... I wouldn't have been surprised if he was given it. But congratulations to Klopp. And you guys tell me what your thoughts are.
Yeah, Wonga, I mean, you were quite loud. Yeah, speak. We want to hear this. What's going on there? What's going on in there?
No, I completely agree with Nick. I think especially if it's a Premier League manager of the season, it needs to be Premier League. We need to take into consideration everything inside the Premier League. The fact that someone got injured, maybe in Champions League or whatever, that doesn't really matter, you know. You need to consider all those factors. I think for it to be like what Nick was mentioning at the end there, in terms of, you know, if it's the guy that the people like, you know, how he handles himself, I think then it needs to be. I think it needs to be a fans' vote, to be honest with you. These are distinguished gentlemen and ladies standing in a room. They get a higher vote. I don't think for me that's. I don't think we need those people. I think they must just lay it down for the people that actually watch it. If they then call themselves fans and their votes also get counted the same as others, that's 100%. I think that's perfect. I think Premier League manager of the season should be the person that everyone watching the Premier League thinks was the best manager of the season, for whatever reason that may be, to be honest with you. And I think what Nick is saying about Eddie Howe, I mean, you heard me saying every time Newcastle. I kid you not, guys. I every time people ask like for a betting tip, I always used to say, guys, Newcastle are playing at home. They are going to score. And some people listened, some people didn't, and they always did. That was one thing. Always put your money on. And they were that good. They were that good. At home, it was ridiculous. When you guys kept on saying that, you know, Arsenal could lose there, in the back of my head, I knew that. This possibility, it's huge. It's huge. It happened. That was the worst.
There we go. Wonga, so for all the bettors out there, they're definitely backing Eddie Howe for manager of the season, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, but definitely. I think, you know, is what he's done, what Eddie Howe has done, I think, he's definitely deserves it. I mean, those guys are getting wins. I mean, wins. It's a complete turnaround. It's not like we're doing a little bit better. It's a complete turnaround. It's what Liverpool wanted in their first season when they got Klopp first season. It's what Arsenal wanted when we got Unai Emery. You don't get that. That's a complete turnaround. If you're there the whole season,
don't get me wrong though, Claudio Wonga, like I don't think if you're looking at the credentials of the Premier League, if you had to look on paper, the points, just the mere points tally that Man City and Liverpool achieve this season and based on the last couple of seasons, I would say those two should be the front runners. I think if you're looking at the best of the rest and in terms of the job that Eddie Howe did, I do think he should comfortably be third. I don't think you can talk of Patrick Vieira and Thomas Frank in the same breath as him.
Well, Nick, you'll be happy to know. I think both Wong and I said on Tuesday that Newcastle for us was the team of the season, largely because of this. But I think, like, when we're looking at Premier League manager of the season, and you two gentlemen have voiced your opinions and you've put down solid facts, and we're looking at sort of what defines the Premier League manager of the season, and you're saying let's keep it within the constraints of the Premier League alone, Wonga, which is a very fascinating sort of question, saying let's forget about all the injuries in Champions League and so on. But when you really got to unpack it, Wonga, we look at this and we say this man Jurgen Klopp, within the sort of confinements of what it means to be a Premier League manager, right? In terms of, to Nick's point, is he liked by other managers and the people in general? He's carried himself in a great manner. That's number one. Number two is he's competed in all 63 games of the season. He's going to be competing in all of them. And up until the last Premier League game, he would have still been there with the possibility of winning a quadruple, coming down or back from 14-point deficit to hunt Man City down. And also, if we're going to again look in sort of in the context of the Premier League, he's added to the drama of what has made this season one of the greatest ever Premier League seasons since 1990 or 89, or whatever it is. So that's his contribution from that perspective. And I don't think you can overlook that to a certain extent. So, and again, it depends on subjectively whatever it is that you want to be measuring that metric with regards to what constitutes the Premier League manager of the season.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But that's why I say that I think it needs to be a fans vote.
Yeah, listen, I think you're going to have this argument year in, year out, guys, unless a team runs away with the league and absolutely destroys everyone and there's a 10 or 15 point gap. You know, as long as it's tight like this, you know, you're going to have these arguments. You're going to have a surprise like Newcastle next season. That's going to be come up as well. That manager is going to be asked by the fans, or the Premier League will ask the fans, you know, does this manager deserve it? So we're gonna have this year in, year out. It's a very subjective matter, picking the best of the best.
Agreed. Right, gents. Chelsea's women boss Emma Hayes has been named FA Women's Manager of the Season, and this is an interesting topic, largely because, you know, not enough gets said about the Women's League firstly. I know recently there's been a lot more sort of awareness given to the league. But this lady, this woman that has a lot of control in sort of the Chelsea camp, has won the league 3 years running. She's obviously deserves the title again for winning the league, to the premise of if we're going to focus on the league itself. But my question for you is, should there be a lady managing in the Premier League at some point?
So, yeah, for me, I think definitely I would say yes. I mean, if she's good enough, then she deserves the opportunity, and 100% give her the job. I think she's also beaten a couple of men in that league as well, right? That are coaching in that WSL, the Women's Super League. So yeah, I mean, there's no reason why they shouldn't be, to be honest with you. It's like, I know some people also questioning the fact for some time whether there was a black manager in the Premier League, why we're not seeing enough black managers. But now here comes, Patrick Vieira was not the first one, I remember, just forgetting the other ones. But yeah, I mean, people would say the ratio is not good enough. But for me, I mean, look, if you're good enough, it shouldn't matter if you're white, pink, yellow, blue, whatever your gender is, it's what should matter is, can you deliver? And she's delivered now in the Women's Super League. And if people feel that, you know, she's actually contribute.
Her fifth title, Wonga. It's her fifth title in the Women's Super League already.
Yeah. So, I mean, new challenge. Why not?
She's won the Women's FA Cup four times. She's won the Women's League Cup twice. She's won the Community Shield once. She's also got a master's degree in intelligence and international affairs. Nick, what is your take on this?
I do think, I'm not opposed to it at all, but I do think it will be, it will take time. Football is progressing. I see the World Cup, there's a team of female referees, or two teams of female referees that will be at the Men's World Cup for the first time ever. So that will be very interesting to see. And football is changing. What I do think maybe Emma Hayes' next step would be, if she wanted to get involved in the men's game, is she would probably form part of a technical team. I don't see her stepping into a head coach role immediately, especially in the Premier League. She could potentially go apply her trade in the lower leagues, but I don't see the owners and the wealth that the Premier League is risking on an unknown woman.
That's interesting you say that, because last year she won best FIFA football coach. So when we're looking at all the credentials, I mean, that's also going back to, I know you're saying throw in a technical team and, but when you're comparing her like for like to Steven Gerrard, for example, who's been given this head manager role at Aston Villa because he's a past player, she's done all the right things that you would have to do as a coach, Nick.
Exactly.
All the sort of things that you've done. So why would she still have to be given these extra hurdles?
Do I think it's right? No. But do I think football has progressed enough and owners have progressed enough to, in their minds, risk their money and put in a female in charge? Firstly, you've got to you've got to deal with the fact that she is would be the first of her kind in the Premier League. Secondly, if it doesn't work out, you've got to deal with that backlash. Never mind the backlash that you'll get initially from your own fan base. There'll be sections of the fan base that will complain about that. Look at this now. Tuchel gets sacked tomorrow, and Chelsea hire Emma Hayes. The Champions League winners from two seasons ago, their fans are going to be delighted that Emma Hayes is in charge. Not to say that I don't think it's right, or not to say that I don't think it's wrong, but I don't think society has progressed enough, and football society has progressed enough for them to accept it just yet, unfortunately.
That's interesting, Nick, because when obviously this whole Roman Abramovich saga has been thrown out there, she is one of these sort of leading figures to help steady the ship at Chelsea. So it's interesting that, you know, sort of decisions can't be made in terms of she's not, it's risky for her to be sitting in the dugout, but it's not risky for her to make higher level decisions for the business
but
as a whole.
Would you not say it's not necessarily just a football problem? Is it not just a society problem in general? You know, society in general, you know, it is progressing. You know, there is more equality in terms of women getting higher positions within corporate structures, within leadership structures. However, sport is a little bit behind in that. Do I think it's right that they're behind? No, I don't. But I do think you will see change in the foreseeable future. I just don't think it will be anytime soon, if I'm very honest with you.
So Wonga,
and I say that
note,
with all due respect, eh? I say that with all due respect.
Yeah. So Wonga, on the inverse factor, she's obviously applied a trade and she's smashing women's football. Should there be men coaching in the women's league?
You know, I don't know, Claudio, I've coached the young girls and I've never coached any of the older girls. I don't know myself if it's any different. I hear people saying it's different, but in terms of my experience, I wouldn't know. But yeah, like, I mean, look, if for me now, it's already been, that's what I'm saying. That line has been crossed. That's what I'm trying to say, is that if the men are already coaching in the women's league, then why can't the woman coach in the men's league? Do you get what I'm saying? But then it's that thing, like Nick is saying, is that the only reason that's possible is our society, the way we're viewing things. Because the way people view women and men, you know, and that's the only reason it's probably happened. But if I'm just looking at like plain sight, I mean, that just on that simple logic, if a man can go to a women's league, then why can't a woman do the inverse? And I mean, she's now proven herself. She's winning.
Yeah.
She's won 5.
Can I ask you a question, guys? Does she risk her reputation stepping into a head coach men's role? That's another question you could ask.
I don't think so.
She's the best at what she does in the female bracket of the game. Why go risk your reputation and receive abuse potentially? You know, the English supporter bases at the moment are at their all-time low. There's a lot of anger at stadiums again. You know, it's reminiscent of the 80s. You know, guys are running on fields, headbutting players. There was nonsense at the Euros with that. Why would she go and risk that? You know,
well,
society can be so cruel.
So to your point, yes. Yeah, why would she go risk that? The thing is, why wouldn't she go risk that? She's got absolutely nothing to lose. And also when we're looking at, and we're going to move on to the next topic, she's got nothing to lose. She goes there. And it doesn't work out in her favor. She just goes back to where she is and she continues dominating. She's got the backing of the club. She's already making business decisions on behalf of the club. And that's what I think. But just to move on, we've got Pums here, Mr. Chelsea fan over here. And this is good because we're going to keep talking about Chelsea Pums. So don't go anywhere. We've got the next topic is obviously the ownership. Mr. Bouley. It's officially been approved. The 4.25 billion. Sort of bid has been approved. Tuchel apparently is already going to be given 200 million to spend. Gentlemen, what does this mean for Chelsea? I know we've spoke about the other day, Spurs being given the transfer kitty they have to back Conte. But now, in this situation with the change of ownership, when we're looking at Chelsea in particular, what is that? Through Abramovich's reign, is 21 trophies over a span of 13 years. What does this mean for them?
Yeah, I think it's good news for them. Not for me, but good news for them. Obviously, now there's a sort of, I've never looked into it, but now there's a sense, there's obviously now a direction now. They know what's happening with the club. There's a bit of more stability, but the reality is they're gonna lose quite a few players. And now Tuchel has to bring in the right people to steady that ship. And also you have to consider the fact that now Chelsea, those players that really came in, Chelsea brought in a lot of people, and Frank Lampard was there, I think it was 2 seasons ago. He came in there and he brought in a number of people. And now they're basically, I mean, 200 million, it looks like they're going to probably do it again. But 200 million now can get you 2 Lukaku, so yeah, we don't know. But definitely they're going to, the whole backline.
Apparently, Jules Koundé, the player they've been linked with week in, week out last season, he's already verbally agreed to move to Chelsea, so that's a centre-back position already filled. Nick, what do you think about Todd Bouley in particular?
I don't know too much about him, to be honest with you. I think Wonga hit the nail on the head. I think it's been a very turbulent time for has your lights just come on? Sorry, Claudia.
Power's back, gents.
So, no, I think from my perspective, I think it's been a turbulent time for Chelsea fans specifically. And I think Tuchel has sort of been in a little bit of a sort of dark space at the moment, not knowing where the club's going, players not knowing what's happening, and I think this just gives them a bit more assurance to plan for the season ahead. And I think Tuchel will be the most relieved man because he'll know that he can renew contracts if he needs to renew contracts and sign players if he needs to sign players. It was a bit of a meh season from Chelsea, you know, finishing third, losing, two cup finals, and not doing too well in the Champions League either, throwing away that lead against Real Madrid. So I think just for the future of Chelsea, a big team in English football, I think it's good for the fan base, and like Wonga says, it gives him a sense of direction moving forward.
Yeah, and for those of you,
but I mean, by the way, that is a lot of money, eh? That is a
dude.
So here's the thing. So 4.5 billion is what's cost them to buy this out. They're saying they're going to invest 1.75 billion into Chelsea. Invest. And also the other pundits and analysts are saying that Premier League clubs in the next 10 years will be worth 10 billion. So it's a good investment from Todd Willey's perspective. One thing we need to know about Todd Willey is he does own the LA Dodgers baseball franchise. One thing he loves very much is data and analytics. So they're saying the comparison isn't very different to FSG from the Liverpool's perspective in terms of how they're going to go about recruiting, but the difference is he is prepared to spend money. So that is something really exciting for Chelsea fans, if you didn't know that. Moving on now, gents, we're going to cover the Premier League player of the season from Goal Lounge, and mainly from Wonga and Nick. We're going to get their views as to who they think the Premier League player of the season is. Nick, who is your candidate and why is this your candidate?
I think my player has to be Son. I think to win the Golden Boot with the team, with the quality behind him, massively inferior to the likes of Liverpool and Man City, to score the amount of goals he scored, I think he deserves it. It's just scary to think what he would do if he had to play for Liverpool or Man City. So he is my candidate player of the season.
Wonga Denga.
Yeah, look, I went back and I looked at it again. I did say Kevin De Bruyne now. And yeah, mind you, he had a good season, I think, very influential, especially on the final day. But yeah, I mean, you look at exactly the same reasons what Nick is saying. Team like Tottenham, up and downs, but he's managed to stay consistent. And yeah, he's well deserved. The performances he's put in, and also now he's also put, and now he's also, yeah, top goal scorer in the league. I just can't believe he was not even, people don't even look at him, you know, they overlook him. That's what shocks me the most. So definitely have to give it to Son.
Well, look, both of you are saying the same name. It's not very exciting when we both agree, but it's good. It's good that there's some sort of consensus. Normally there's a bit of banter and argument. That's fine. But I'm just going to throw a spanner in the works. The player I'm going to mention is Jared Bowen, largely because, 12 goals, 17 assists for West Ham. We know West Ham in the first half of the season were in contention for that Champions League spot. They had a good European run. And again, when you consider where the players come from, it's a huge breakthrough season, especially when we throw in the fact that he's just been given his first England call-up. So that's my sort of shout. I'm not sure if you gentlemen think he deserves to be up there, but I don't care. We're now going to move on to the Premier League transfer of the season. Who was the best transfer, gentlemen? A lot of money was spent, not so much on certain players. Who was the best?
You go for it, Nick.
There's only one. It's Bruno. Guimarães. It has to be. The guy's been a master. He's been a flippin'... He's come in there, he's a Brazilian international, he loves our club, he scored goals, he's assisted, he bosses the midfield, he should be playing in the Champions League, so it has to go to Bruno for me. Every penny, Wonga, well spent.
Wonga Denga, do you agree?
No, I don't agree with Nick. I would say, I don't know if it's skewing me because I watched quite a few Liverpool games, and I don't know if it was Champions League and stuff, because I did check his stats. They were okay. It was Diaz for Liverpool. I think he came in, he played like he was part of that team for years. Straight, you know, hit the ground running, exactly what Klopp wanted. Scored 4 goals in the league in 13 games. So I don't know if that also applies for that. But I mean, if there was someone else I would have chosen for me, I think just largely because we've been missing it for a long time. It's unfortunate he couldn't play the whole season. I would say it was a Tomiyasu for me. And I hope next season he can actually... Yeah, Tomiyasu. He's come in there. He's been solid. He's basically showing us, I don't know, how much they spent on White, 50. Oh my goodness, too much. But yeah, I think the next season they should try to play him in the center. We get a right back, we get a proper cover for Tierney, and I think we'll be fine.
That's a good shot. I do think you guys missed him at right back, and he has been an impact player for an Arsenal. But you laid the foundation, Wonga Denga. Pums is asking, what is the criteria for this? And I think that is to the previous question. The criteria, Pums, is whatever we think and why we think it. So that is the criteria. I'm going to say Luis Diaz, Largely because, why? You've already touched on the fact. He came in, it was an impact. Liverpool were trailing for the league. He came in and hit the ground running. We didn't have Mane. We didn't have Salah, Wonga. You kept saying season in, season out, week in, week out, Liverpool are going to suffer. They're going to suffer. And he came in and he fit like a glove and we didn't suffer. So for me, it happened when you consider he nearly became a Spurs player. And it was the player that Liverpool only meant to be transfer window. We only meant to be signing him now, but we sped it up, we rushed it, and bang. Bob's your uncle, Niza, is a part of the formidable sort of attacking force at Liverpool. So that's my sort of wrap up there. Gentlemen, it's that time. Champions League final preview and prediction. The time has come. It's the last game of the season for all fans. Of course, Real Madrid fans and Liverpool fans, keen eye on this particular matchup. Wonga Dinga, what are you thinking here? What are your thoughts? Real Madrid going to win? What, 13, 4 to make it the 14th European title, or Liverpool going to kick on to make it their 7th? I mean, combined, they've got a total of, I think it's 27 Champions League finals or European finals combined, these two teams. Hence, European royalty.
Look, sorry, I think, number one, we'll see Liverpool go away with just 2 trophies this season. I think Madrid are going to make it like they always do. They're going to probably try and better Klopp's finish to the season, maybe give Liverpool 3 goals. And then 70 minutes, Benzema, you know how they do it, Rodrigo, are going to light up things there. I'm only joking, Claudio. But I don't think, if Liverpool are winning, I think it's game over. I think Liverpool are winning, they'll probably cement it. If Madrid can
what do you
come
mean,
back.
What do you mean by that? You mean if Liverpool take the lead, the game is done? Or if they control it, what do you
I
mean?
I think
by
so.
That?
Yeah, no, I think if Liverpool take the lead, it's done. I think if Madrid want to win, they're going to have to score the first goal. That's what I think. I think Liverpool, if they get that lead, it's going to be difficult for Madrid to come back. If Madrid come back against Liverpool, I haven't looked at the stats, but I don't think Liverpool have actually come back from a losing position this season. I mean, I don't think they've actually lost from a winning position, Liverpool this season. Because I may be wrong on this, but I remember me watching and hoping it would happen, but never did. So I don't think it ever happened. So I think Madrid will really, really, really try and push for that first goal, or they'll just take them to penalty.
Nick.
Claudio, you're going to be my friend tonight because I think you guys have got this wrapped up. What is going to be key for me in this battle is how rested the Liverpool players are. I'm not too sure if you've heard anything, Claudio. I'm sure Klopp gave them a couple of days off after Sunday. But it's going to be key to have a fresh squad going in there. You know, he's managed to do the full marathon of this season, playing every single football match, and he's really done well. He's fallen short with 1 point against Man City. He's got a great opportunity now to go and win it. So if the big players can step up, I think they'll have too much for Real Madrid on the night.
Yeah, I mean, on that note, I saw them training on YouTube yesterday. You could watch the session live. It was Konate's birthday. The team were in high spirits. They were doing all their 56 million language celebration, which is what they do. It's a part of their cultural ritual. He makes them stand in a circle. When it's someone's birthday, they all sing it in their own language, and they have a good laugh about that. The squad is looking fresh, despite the fact that there are some injuries. We know Van Dijk didn't play last game of the season. Salah came off the bench. Those two players will be fit. The only question is whether or not Thiago is fit enough for the final. And it seems like he will be ready for the final. So Liverpool, from Jurgen Klopp's perspective, has the first team to pick. Pum's saying the Vinicius Junior versus Trent is going to be a key battle. Wonga, do you think that is correct?
Yes, 100%. It was also key in, and I said this the first time, I think Silo disagreed with me with Man City. They didn't have that first leg when they came back. They never had Kyle Walker. And they had to put, they never had Kyle Walker and Cancelo. I think Cancelo would have dealt with them properly, but they had a Fernandinho. And Vinicius ripped him apart. I mean, it's just pure pace. There's nothing you can do with someone that quick, especially if you're that slow. And I think, Trent also, they've been questioning his defensive ability. Vinicius is going to give him a run for his money. The question is, will he be able to deliver on his end? Because he also has something to offer. And it's mostly, and that doesn't go against one on one. It's actually against the whole goddamn team. So yeah, we'll see which one comes out better.
Right, Bongo. Then on that note, gents, your prediction and tell me how you think it's going to play out. So give me the score and a quick as to, it's going to be 2-1. I think Trent's going to do the damage, for example.
I think there's goals in this one. I think it's going to be 3-2. I think it's going to be back and forth. I do think Liverpool will take the lead. And I do think Real Madrid are going to make it exciting. I see Salah coming up with the goods right at the end and winning the game 3-2.
Wonga Digger.
I see goals. Hey, I think my head just wants Madrid to win, but stuff it. Yeah, Madrid win 3-2. I say Madrid win 3-2. I don't know how they'll do it. I never knew how they were going to make it to the final, but they made it to the final. So I'll just say it's Rodrigo maybe to score the final goal as always.
Wonga going with the football gods backing Real Madrid. Nick going with the football analytical mind. I'm going to say it's a treble, gentlemen, for Jurgen Klopp. I have to say it. I like putting things out there in the universe. Wonga, I'm similar to you where it comes to the heart and the head. I'm more the heart man than I want the universe to receive that. So I'm going to be putting that out there. Liverpool are going to do revenge. We'll come back with revenge from 2018. It's going to be 3-1 victory, Liverpool. Final thoughts, gentlemen. Ah, Pums is on our side too, yeah. 3-0 Liverpool. Thank you, Pums. You were saying you were going to win the
3-0.
League. 3-0. Now, you're saying, and also a nice omen. Omen for all the Liverpool people out there. Liverpool lost by 1 point to Man City a couple of years ago. They went on that same season. They lost by the points in 2018. The season following that. They went to go win the Champions League. That's a good omen. Right, final thoughts. Nick, let's hear it.
Good luck to you, Claudio. I think it's going to be capping off a very good season for Liverpool, hopefully for your sake. But I think all in all, from a goal lounge perspective, thank you to everyone who's watched us this season, if you want to call it that. It sort of comes down to the final game. The best of the best play each other, and I think it'll be a true spectacle. So, yeah, good luck to you, and thank you to the viewers.
Wonga Denga, you're up.
My question, maybe the guys will answer it there later, but does Maguire get called up to England squad, considering the season that he's had? Honest question, how did he get called up? Pickford, does he remain England's number one after he's finished to the season? That for me will be interesting to see.
Oh, some interesting final thoughts. Very unrelated, but good teaser there for maybe coming to next week's show.
Completely off topic. Completely off topic.
It's a final thought. It's end of the season. Look, they finished poorly, and yeah, I'd like to see how that. I mean, other people have put in their effort. They finished in good positions in the league. Arsenal with Ramsdale having a full season, he's finished way above Everton. Does he now get a number one spot for England? That's a good question.
About Ramsdale, Wonga, you thought he was tired a couple of weeks ago, so I don't think you should be talking about Ramsdale.
he's not 100%, otherwise he would have won the league. But, yeah, he's okay.
It is actually, sorry, I am saying thank you to our viewers, but we will have a show next week because there's also important World Cup qualifiers next week. Scotland and Wales involved, Ukraine as well, so that will be interesting.
And we'll wait for Cilla Maguire to be there with us to answer that question as well, because these are some key questions impacting his team and his namesake. So, yes, the good question there, Pums. Right, gentlemen, you know how to end the show. You ready? 3, 2, 1.
Stop it. We need a countdown, bro. We need a countdown.